This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. And we're going to take our copy of God's Word, and we're going to go to Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 says this: "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses." Now, what have we got here? We got a sister, we got a brother speaking against a brother. Nothing ever changes, amen? Amen, never does. "Because of the Egyptian woman whom he had married, because of the Ethiopian woman he had married, for he married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses." Here's the catcher. Here's the bottom line. Aaron and Miriam said, We speak also. He's not the only one that can preach. He's not the only one that can speak. Hath he not spoken also by us?" Look, now here's what we need to think about, folks. When we say anything, here's the message we need to really process. "And the Lord heard it." And the Lord heard it. That's what's really to think about. You know, they heard it and it's going to get out. No. And the Lord heard it. That's what's really important. So let's pray. Jesus, I love you. I praise you for who you are, and I praise you for what you're doing. I thank you for this special, special day in the lives of women. And we want to honor them, and we want to honor you. And for all you do, we're just going to praise you. For I pray this prayer with a grateful heart. For I pray this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I found out something that was very interesting. This year, there will be an average of $204 spent on every mother. An average, every mom this year will get $204 spent on her. So if you don't get it, moms, you just say, hey, you all are not measuring up, all right? Because on average in America, it's $204. Now, I read about a lady who raised three very successful sons, Michael, Marvin, and Melvin. Michael, Marvin, and Melvin were very, very successful. And Mother's Day came. And again, I want to stress, very, very successful. So Michael gave Mom a new house for Mother's Day. Wow, what a gift. And then there was Marvin. Marvin gave mother a Mercedes for Mother's Day. What a gift. And then there was Melvin. Melvin didn't give a house. He didn't give a Mercedes, but he knew that his mama was a very religious woman. And Melvin found out that there was a parrot that could recite the Bible. This parrot was trained over a 12-year period by 20 monks. But get this, in order to have a shot to get this parrot, you had to contribute $100,000 a year for 12 years. And Melvin did just that, $100,000 a year for 12 years. So he got the mom the parrot. A little time passed and all the boys got a letter. She wrote Michael and she said, "Michael, let me tell you something. I'm just one person and the house you got me is way too big." And she said, "Marvin, I'm almost blind. This Mercedes is wonderful, but I barely drive. That's not a sensible gift." But she said, "Melvin, you gave the best gift. You gave the best gift. It was the only sensible gift." And she said, "By the way, that chicken was delicious." I remember years ago, I was preaching in West Virginia. And I didn't realize this. I just happened to be in the area of West Virginia preaching. And anytime I'm in an area, I always find out what's there that I might would like to see. And I found out that there was a lady that was born in West Virginia, and her name was Anna Jarvis. Now, when I give that name, Anna Jarvis, that doesn't mean anything to anybody. And most of you say, I don't have a clue who Anna Jarvis is, and I don't know why the preacher would have wanted to go to her home. Let me tell you who Anna Jarvis was. Anna Jarvis was the lady who started Mother's Day. She was the lady who petitioned Congress and was so faithful to start Mother's Day. But here's what you may not know. Anna Jarvis was never married. Anna Jarvis was never a mother. Anna Jarvis just felt like that mothers worked so hard and they toiled so hard that there ought to be a day set aside just to honor mothers. And you know, folks, I'm all for honoring mothers. But you know, every Mother's Day, what rose in my mind? Every Mother's Day, what rose in my mind is there's a lot of women who would like to be mothers who can't be mothers. One out of every six couples in America, it's a problem. It's a problem having children. So there are a lot of women that will listen to the message who want to be a mother and can't be a mother. You know what else I know? Everybody didn't have the Proverbs 31 mother. Sometimes the mother experience wasn't the best experience. And you know what else I know? Sometimes on Mother's Day, somebody has just lost their mother. And so Mother's Day can be a very, very difficult day. Now, the lady I want to preach to you about today, she was never a mother. She was never a wife. There's no indication that she ever had children. But I believe we can learn a lot from her life. Her name is Miriam. Miriam. She's the older sister of Moses. And I believe there's a message. I believe there's principles from Miriam's life that we can appropriate into our lives. I want you to see three just simple things and we'll be done. The first thing I want you to see is the wisdom of Miriam. The wisdom of Miriam. This is what I truly believe. Somebody said, you may not believe what Brother Benny believes, but after hearing him preach, you'll believe he believes what he believes. This is what I truly believe. Women have an intuition that men don't have. Women have an intuition. They have an intuition that men don't have. It's been many times in my life when Barbara would say, you better watch that. You better watch that situation. And I've never known her to be wrong. There's an intuition. When a man don't listen to his wife, he misses 50% of what God's trying to say to him. Quiet. There's an intuition there. There was a man in line at a grocery store, and he saw an older woman putting her groceries on the belt, and she kept staring at that man, and he noticed she was staring at him, and finally she walked over to him and she said, I'm so sorry for staring at you, but you look just like my deceased son. You're identical to my deceased son. And that's why I'm so staring at you. He said, well, it's okay. If it helps you, continue to stare. She said, would you do me a favor? He said, anything. She said, as I walk away, would you simply say, bye, Mom? He said, sure. She walked away. He said, bye, Mom. Took two items. He laid it up on the belt. The cashier said, that will be $201. He said, $201? He said, yes. Your mom said you were paying for hers. The wisdom of a woman. Now, I want to give you some background, folks. The Pharaoh of Egypt was real insecure. He was worried that so many Israelites were going to be born that they were going to overtake his kingdom. He was so insecure. So what he started doing, he would take all the babies, all the male babies, and he would drown them in the Nile River because he wanted to make sure that those male babies didn't grow up. He wanted to make sure those male babies didn't grow up and overtake his kingdom. There was a woman in the Bible. Her name was Jochebed. Jochebed. And she had a little baby. And his name was Moses. And the time came that she couldn't hide him out any longer. She knew the Pharaoh of Egypt was killing all the babies, drowning them in the Nile River. So she thought about something. I'll take him down. I'll put him in a little ark. I'll put him in a little basket. And I'll put him in the Nile River. And maybe he'll float and somebody will find him. That's better than him drowning. So she took Moses, put him in the basket, put him in the Nile River. He was the first ever basket case, amen? Put him in the basket. And look what the Bible says happened. And his sister, who would that be? That's Miriam. She stood afar off to witness what would be done to him. She saw him in that basket. Verse 5 says, and the daughter of Pharaoh's daughter, came down to bathe herself there at the river, and the maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw that basket case, that ark among the flags, she sent her maid and said, get that baby. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister, Miriam, to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse? You're going to need somebody to nurse this baby. You're going to need somebody to nurse this Hebrew baby. Look, that she may nurse. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go, look. And the maid went and got Jochebed. And Moses' mother got to be in his life simply because of the wisdom. Simply because of the wisdom of Miriam. We may have never had Moses had it not been for the wisdom of Miriam. Folks, ladies, let me just say this. The decisions you make are so important. The decisions you make are so important. And that's why the Bible says in James 1 and 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If we're going to be the woman that we ought to be, we can't just be out making decisions. We got to lean on the Lord. We got to seek God's wisdom. You know what I've learned, folks? You seek God's wisdom, and then you seek the wisdom of others. The wisest man who ever lived was a man named Solomon. And Solomon said in Proverbs 11 and 14, he said, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. What made Miriam such a special lady? I'll tell you what made her a special lady was her wisdom. A woman of wisdom. A woman that sought direction from the Lord. I see the wisdom of Miriam. And I'll tell you what else. I see the worship of Miriam. I see the worship of Miriam. You know, the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. I just want to give you something to think about. This is not the message, but I think it's a point that's worth mentioning. You know the story. The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. And then Pharaoh and his army, remember? They tried to cross the Red Sea. And we all know what happened. God drowned Pharaoh and his army. God drowned Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. I'll tell you what I believe. I don't believe it was coincidental that Pharaoh drowned all those little babies. I don't think it was coincidental that Pharaoh drowned all those little babies in the Nile River and he experienced some of his own medicine. Let me tell you something, folks. You said, Pastor, this is where I'm at. Let me tell you what the Bible teaches. Just not where you're at or not where I'm at. Proverbs 6 and 17 says this. A proud look God hates, a lying tongue God hates, and hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but somebody said it's terrible what's happening in America. Is God judging America? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if he is, maybe it's for the 50 million babies that we've drowned in the Nile River. And there's no value on the intrinsic value of every life. And I want to report to you that God's got a plan for every life. And every life is valuable in the eyes of God. I see the wisdom, but I see the worship. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. After Moses and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, after they got across the Red Sea, something happened in Exodus chapter 15. Look what it says. And Miriam the prophetess said, Pastor Benny, I don't believe in that. I can't help it. Apparently God did. The sister of Aaron took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her. You think your worship don't affect other people? You think when you come to the house of God and you're worshiping God and you're excited, it don't affect people? Folks, let me tell you something. It affects me when I'm preaching and I feel like people are with me. I've looked out there and seen people before. I'd be preaching my heart out and they'd be, bless me if you can. You think your part don't make a difference? The women went out after her. You say, Pastor Benny, why do you like to see people singing in the choir? Because my desire is that it motivates the rest of us to worship the Lord. And the women went out after her, look, with timbrels and with dances. They were dancing. I mean, you say, I don't like all that. I can't help it, folks. They crossed the Red Sea. I don't know if it was James Brown, but they had some moves. But look, with dances. Now look, verse 21 says, Miriam answered them, get this, folks, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider, Pharaoh and his group, hath he drowned in the sea. Let me tell you what Miriam understood. She understood what God had done in her life. And she understood, in light of what God had done in her life, she ought to praise him. Now, let me tell you something. They still had to encounter the Canaanites. They still had to encounter the Amalekites. They still had to get to Mara, where the water was going to be so bitter. They were still going to have problems. But you know what she understood? Folks, from the place you're at, you say it's not a good place. From the place you're at, if you'll praise the Lord, he'll take you to a better place. Maybe this testimony says it well.
I started working at Rock Springs in March of 2015. And I was super excited about my job with women's ministry and was having a ball. And then literally 2 months later, I found a lump under my arm, and I was very concerned. It was biopsied, and I received a phone call while I was there at work with the doctor telling me that it was cancer. When I told my children that I had been diagnosed with cancer, I still did not know yet the full plan, and so I was still trying to process it myself. And I was trying to tell them and say, hey, you know, this is what's going on, and we've got great doctors, we're gonna find out what their plan is gonna be, and we're gonna do it, and it's gonna be okay. So all these words were coming out of my mouth, and inside I was thinking, am I gonna be able to see you get married? Am I gonna be able to see my grandkids? So I had all those fears welling up inside of me, and trying at the same time to have this strong front, but yet you don't really know that. All throughout my journey, the Lord would speak to me through 2 Chronicles 20, and that's the story of Jehoshaphat. And when the armies are coming up against him, and he said, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. And the Lord said, you will not have to fight this battle. Trust in me, and I will fight the battle for you. But I noticed that God didn't do anything until Jehoshaphat started praising him. And the moment that he and his army started praying, the enemy just fell apart, and there was no battle. It was already won. And so I've claimed that as what God has taught me and told me, that the battle is won, and I will fight for you. After I finished all of my chemo sessions, and that was a struggle because of the chemo that they were giving me made me very, very sick. I lost all my hair. I was bald as a bat for a while. But after my surgery was over and after I had finished with all of that radiation, they gave me a report, and I saw something that I had not seen before. And it was a infected lymph node that I did not know about. And I called my doctor and I asked her what that was all about. And she said, yeah, that's what they found during your surgery. And she said, well, it does put you in a category where you are classified high risk for return. And I kind of felt in my spirit that the Lord was saying, yeah, people have told me that I'm high risk for return too. And I'm so grateful that I serve a risen Savior that is high risk for return. And because of that, I have that hope. When we pray, we limit ourselves to that one thing. And we forget that we serve a God that has told us that He will do it exceedingly and abundantly more. And so I feel like through this journey, He's taught me to pray beyond the problem and to expect greater things. I'm sure there's going to be other battles that I face. There's things that all of us go through. And because that battle was won 2,000 years ago, we are good and we are victors. We have a champion that fights for us every single day.
Thank you so much. Sister Courtney said things change when I decided I was going to praise the Lord. Things change when I decided I was going to praise the Lord. I want you to understand something. Worship, the word worship is a verb. So if it's a verb, it's something we do. It's not just something that happens. It's something that we do. See, I learned so much from this lady. I learned about wisdom. I learned about worship. But there's one other thing. I learned about words. I learned about how important that our words are. How vitally important. See, think about this, folks. This world was created because God spoke it into existence. This world was created. God created the world, the rocks, the rills, the hoes, the hills, the birds, the bees, and the flowers, and the trees. But He was created because God spoke it into existence. Let me tell you something. What you speak will change your world. How you speak will change your world. You said, Pastor, where do you get that? Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Words are so powerful. And as wonderful as Miriam was, I noticed some things from her words. The Bible says in Numbers 12, 1 and 2, that she spake against Moses. She spake against Moses because he married the Ethiopian woman. I just dug into it a little bit. And I found out that the Ethiopians were from Cush. I found out they were from Noah's son, Ham. And initially I thought, I know what upset Miriam. She was the leader, by the way. She was leading Aaron. I know what upset Miriam. He married this Ethiopian woman who was from a pagan tribe. And that's what upset him. But folks, as I researched it, I found that not to be true. Because in Exodus chapter 4, verses 24 through verse 26, she was from Africa, but she was a worshiper of Yahweh. She was a person who loved the Lord. She was a person who loved God. So Miriam spake against her, not because of her relationship with God, but because of her skin color. She spake against her, not because of her relationship with God, but because of her skin color. Let me tell you something, folks. Anybody who thinks because you're one race, you're superior to another race, you're a racist, and there's no place for that in God's kingdom. And there's no place. Hey, there's no place for that in God's kingdom. When we think that we're superior to any race, that's an abomination in the eyes of God. Because God created every one of us equal. We're wonderfully and gloriously created by God. And I want you to know something, folks. Somebody said, oh, he's just a God of love. Oh, yeah, he is. He is a God of love. But you read the story. When she did this, God got angry. God said, no, I'm coming down. I wonder how many times he gets angry with the things we say about another race. I think I can hear the grass growing outside. See, folks, we like preaching of the book until it affects us. We like Bible preaching as long as it don't affect us. But when he gets on us, he's quit preaching and gone to meddling. No, I'm just preaching the book, and there's no place for racism in God's kingdom. God said, it angers me. And the Bible says this, ladies and gentlemen, when she did that, God came down in a pillar of cloud. He said, I want to see Miriam. I want to see Aaron. And Mo, you come with them because I'm going to address this. I'm going to address this. And I'm going to move on. I'm not going to camp here too long. And some of you said, praise God and the Lamb forever. But if you look in Numbers 12, verses 9 and 10, he smote Miriam with something. What he smote her with? Leprosy. And look here, folks. This is all I'm going to say. She became leprous. And wait. Her skin was white as snow. This is all I'm going to say. You be careful what you say about somebody else's skin. Because it may affect you. You be careful what you say in reference to somebody else's skin. Because it may affect you. Hey, get real, folks. I'm going to just talk. I'm just be transparent. Somebody said, we need the political parties to come together. We need the government to come together. We need the school system to come together. Goodness gracious, if we can't come together under the blood of Jesus, there's no hope for any of the rest of it. If the blood of Jesus can't bring us together, you know what's amazing, folks? When we cry, it's the same.